This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT, and this is a big one. I am ready for this. I'll be in San Diego with the Silver and Black. If the Raiders win, they clinch. They're in the postseason with an 11-3 record, with two more games coming up against Indianapolis in the last game of the year, on the road at Denver. And they're going into San Diego to play a wounded animal in the San Diego Chargers. One of the better teams in football, but their record doesn't show for it. You've heard about the Chargers the first half of the year. They were in a lot of games that they found a way to lose late. And now they're out of it, but they have a lot to play for because this is their rival. Don't let anybody else tell you that the Chargers' rival is Kansas City or it's Denver. It is the Raiders. And on this Sunday at Qualcomm Stadium, there is a lot on the line between the 10-3 Raiders and the 5-8 San Diego Chargers. Remember, this last loss for San Diego was a big one because Phillip Rivers had 5 turnovers, 2 lost fumbles, and 3 interceptions. Whenever Rivers has a bad game, he comes back and he gets up for this rivalry. And the last time we saw the Raiders play, the Raiders lost at Kansas City by a score of 21-13 on Thursday Night Football, all the way back December 8th. It's been a long time. You could tell that the Raiders are worked up. They want to get back on the field, win a game in what could be. I'm going to go out on a limb here on the official Raiders podcast. I think this could be the largest crowd ever to see a Raider game in the regular season on the road, because it is the perfect storm. Raider fans travel well, but their best attended game on the road is always San Diego. The Chargers have relocation hanging over their head. They're under 500, and they just don't want to deal with it. Their fans don't want to deal with the Raiders as a 10-win team. So I'm expecting motorcades, Winnebagos, trains, planes, automobiles, as the Silver and Black. It will be a sea of Silver and Black at Qualcomm. Couple of stats for you. The total offense for the Raiders, 6th overall at 380 yards a game, and right there are the Chargers at 11th overall. The rushing offense for the Raiders, ranked 6th. I think they'll run it in this game at 116 yards a game. The Chargers don't rush for 100 yards. They're 23rd at 98. But the defense, total defense for the Raiders, 30th. Rush defense, 26th. San Diego's defense, even though they're injured, better than expected, 17th overall, and they're 7th against the rush, giving up only 91 yards a game. So the Raiders, if they want to run the ball, which I think is a big part of this game plan, they're going to have to run it hard. Be physical. With all the injuries that the Chargers have, they have got to get after it and force their will on San Diego, especially their backups. I mean, San Diego signed guys off the practice squad this week. That's how banged up they are. Our first guest on the official Raiders podcast has now got a big broadcasting career with ESPN, one of the co-hosts of Sports Nation, and he played for the Chargers. Marcellus Wiley joins us. And Marcellus, good to talk to you again. And when you were playing with the Chargers, from 2001 to 2003, that's when the Raiders were last playing at a super high level in the postseason and in the Super Bowl. Good to see the Raiders back in this rivalry and playing big again.
Yeah, you talk about the Raiders back then. They were a machine. You talk about Rich Gannon and his maturation, him finally hitting his stride with the Oakland Raiders, and it was just unbelievable how that offense, how finely tuned it was. And I remember going against them, and it was so difficult to get a sack, not only because Rich Gannon was so precise with the football, would throw it on time and certainly hit his guys in rhythm, but they also had a good offensive line like they do now, and Lincoln Kennedy was not playing any games, so some of the best wars I ever had on a football field involved those Raiders.
I remember you coming into the black hole and staring into the south end zone. You didn't mind that atmosphere. You were a warrior. You were a physical guy. Did you like those Raider games as a Charger at home? Because you were always fired up to play also in Oakland.
Yeah, I was, man. I just loved the whole lore of the black hole. And man, I'm from Compton, so being from Compton, I ain't scared of nobody in the mask. So it just intrigued me that everyone was so invested in the game. And even when they came down to San Diego, I remember one time we received a letter that said we were limited in the number of tickets we would get because they didn't want us to give them to all the Raider fans, and the Raider fans would take over the stadium. And I saw some wild things on the way to the game, to the stadium, traffic jam. I'm stuck in traffic like everyone else. And I just see Raider fans just jumping out their cars, tailgating, playing football in the freeway. Just craziness, man. So it's a special rivalry, and I'm glad it's meaningful, especially for the Raiders.
Marcellus Wiley joins us. Did you expect the Raiders to be there this year at 10-3, or did you think they were a year away?
I thought they were a year away. Look, I got so much respect for Jack Del Rio. I played for him in Jacksonville. Tremendous balance between being a player-friendly coach and inspiring guys, but also being a disciplinarian when needed. As you saw this week with his remarks about Marquette King, he'll let you know, I'm a former player, but don't try and get over on me. And I just love Jack Del Rio and the way he can lead a team, and I see it happening already. But I didn't think it would happen this soon. I thought because the organization needed some restructuring, and him and McKenzie have been going after that. But now you talk about where they are. They got here pretty fast, pretty rapidly, and I don't think this is going away anytime soon because there's a mystique to them now. There's a belief. It's bigger than the X's and O's. The guys are buying in, and once you have that, you can have consistent success.
Marcellus Wiley joins us. Are you technically a believer in the draft, free agency, or a combination? Because Reggie McKenzie had to get some of that cap, that dead money, to go away before he could convince some veterans in the prime of their career to come, let alone draft players like Carr, Khalil Mack, and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a combo effect. I don't think you should walk in with one initiative and say this is the way and the only way. Just like the draft, you know, you go after best available, or do you say, do we have a need at a certain position? You just take the best football player. What's that old saying where they were talking about drafting Michael Jordan, and Portland was like, well, we need a center. They said, draft Michael Jordan and play him at center. You just pick the best damn player. Don't mess it up. So when that time comes for the Raiders, obviously, they're going to be more attractive than they have been in recent past. Guys are going to be clamoring to go up there and put on the silver and black. That's a new experience for Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio, and it's going to be fun to watch.
You know, I see you at the fights, and I know you're living the dream. You talked about being born in Compton and then going to college in Columbia, playing and having a great career in the NFL, and now being on TV for ESPN every day. I mean, it doesn't get much better. What are your goals? Where do you want to be in the next 5 to 10 years? Because it's all right there for you.
Oh, man, I appreciate the love and appreciate the question. Right now, I'm honing my focus on the word transition. I just see too many of my fraternity members, my brethren, the former players, the current players, struggle in that transition. As you just said, I came from Compton where they told me I wouldn't make it and got to the Ivy League. And then I'm in the Ivy League and they tell me I won't make it to the NFL. And then I make it to the NFL. And then I'm in the NFL, they say, that's the highlight of your life. You'll never do better than the NFL. Well, right now I'm getting paid like an NFL player, but I ain't getting hit once every day. I love this life. And the next thing is to make sure I can inspire others to take their challenges, their circumstances, overcome them, and make that transition.
How were you never a Raider? Did Mr. Davis ever talk to you about it? Were you close?
Yeah, I was close, man. It's funny. I went to San Diego on my trip. They offered me half, so I ended up getting a $40 million deal. They offered me 20, and my agent's like, get on the plane. You're going to see the Raiders. I was literally at the airport. And then San Diego called back and said, let's stop playing games. Let's get this right. So I was that close to coming up there. And once I would have saw that white jacket, that starter jacket, you never know what would have happened.
He wouldn't have let you leave the building. Once you got in the facility, he wouldn't let you go until you signed the deal. That's an amazing story.
Oh, I've been so pumped, man. I was looking forward to it, too. But you know what? It all works this way out. This is what it is.
Great to talk to you again, Marcellus. I'll see you down the road. All the best.
All right. Take care, Brick.
Great catching up with Marcellus Wiley, and check him out and all the great work that he does on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Now joining us, one of my favorites, a consistent guest that I have on radio, and he joins us every year on the official Raiders podcast, former head coach Steve Mariucci, now a premier analyst on NFL Network. Coach, thanks a lot again for doing this. We appreciate it. Last time I saw you up in Napa, you were up there doing your deep dive, looking at the Raiders, and you could see this resurgence coming.
Yeah, I always love coming up to training camp in Napa for a lot of reasons. But, you know, you just could sense it in training camp. This team is about ready to turn the corner. It's been a long time coming. But, geez, the pieces that are in place with Reggie McKenzie, you know, pulling the trigger with whether it's free agents or draft choices, and you got the right coach in Jack Del Rio, a homegrown product, And then you got the quarterback. I mean, that's the missing link with a lot of teams in the NFL is, you know, not everybody has a Derek Carr. So, and then, of course, they've got weapons on offense. I really like this young team, how hard they play. They're resilient. They work hard. Future is very bright for this guy. And we don't talk much about that offensive line, but I think they're probably the second-best offensive line in the league.
Coach, what'd you see with the pinky issue? I talk to Derek Carr every week on my show in San Francisco. You're not going to get a lot out of it. You know that players and coaches don't talk much about injuries, but when he injured the pinky, he came back against Carolina, had the big game against Buffalo, 29 unanswered points. And then in Kansas City, was it due to the cold weather? He just couldn't lock in. He had his worst game as a pro.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It's probably our worst game as an NFL network broadcast crew, too, because we couldn't even talk. It was so cold. It was so cold. And, you know, you have a, and he didn't wear a glove, right, on the throwing hand. So he's in shotgun, so he doesn't have to take the hard snap under center. It was really difficult for him. And, A, the pinky had something to do with it. It looks like he's, heck, he was handing the ball off, you know, with his other hand, even to the left side, meaning he's really favoring that pinky that was hurting him. And then it was so darn cold, you could probably not even feel your hand. And it was a little windy, and of course, Kansas City gets it rolling, and they have a good defense. And it was a tough game. I mean, some quarterbacks, you know, are a little bit better equipped to play well in the cold because you practice in it a little bit, and you play it 2-3 times a year. But the Raiders don't have that opportunity. So it was just a tough go over there for Derek Carr.
Steve Mariucci joins us. Coach, with Khalil Mack, with the coaches, the players that you coached against who were on your own rosters, can you compare him to anyone else that you've seen at this stage in his career?
Well, you know, and you know him personally, and he's a humble guy, and he's coming out of Buffalo, for crying out loud, you know, and he's really made a name for himself. You know, he's just one of those game changer kind of guys because he can sack, strip, fumble the quarterback at any time. He's making plays with tip passes and interceptions and you name it. But he's a guy you have to game plan for. You have to say, do we ever want to have a back blocking this guy? How often do we want to double him? Do we ever want to have a tight end in maximum pass protection blocking him on the edge? Probably not. So, you know, he's a factor. He's a young guy. He's not going anywhere. You know, that's going to be a guy that's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler over there in Oakland.
You a big believer in Ken Norton Jr.? Because when he got the gig, Coach, I thought, you know, he's one of those young coaches. He's part of the Pete Carroll. And, he played, obviously, in Dallas and played in these epic games with the Niners. And I just thought that his arc looked like a guy who could eventually be a head coach. Then they struggled out of the gate. He seems like he shored up the defense recently. What do you think is the ceiling for Ken Norton Jr.?
Yeah, you know, Ken Norton Jr. played for me at San Francisco. And believe me, I loved his energy and his leadership and his resiliency and all that kind of stuff that a head coach loves with some of his players. And so when he became a coach and he learned his ropes over there in Seattle with Pete and really became a heck of a teacher, I was a little surprised that they started off, they struggled some because they had some, you know, they had some talent on defense, added a couple of free agent in the secondary, drafted over there, struggled a little bit. But between he and Jack, they got that thing figured out and they're improving. That's what you want to see. You want to see your unit, whether it's offense, defense, kicking game, offensive line, you want to see improvement. You want to see a coach teach and develop. And I think we're seeing that. I think Ken Norton Jr. is growing that defense into a real, you know, formidable kind of defense. Are they the Bears of 85? Not yet. But I think another offseason with Reggie McKenzie saying, okay, let's add this piece and this piece and this piece, and all of a sudden the talent level will match that offense.
We're wrapping it up with Steve Mariucci. Coach, with the job you do on NFL Network and you're there every day, you hear everything about relocation. You know the importance of this game. Raiders, if they win, they clinch. They're in the playoffs, and Phillip Rivers is coming off 5 turnovers on his own, 2 lost fumbles, and 3 interceptions, but he's proud. He's a guy that's in this rivalry, and he fights for the fans of San Diego. And then San Diego, Coach, has this backdrop of possibly playing their last Raider game at home before relocation to L.A. How do coaches and organizations handle a game like this?
Yeah, you know, you try to, that's all periphery, that's all fan stuff, that's all media stuff to talk about. I think both teams and both coaching staffs, you know, you keep your head down and your focus is on the game itself and not anything about the future. I mean, it's all about this one game. And so you know that San Diego will have a lot of Oakland Raider fans in that stadium, right? And it's just going to be, it's been a rival that's been going on for a long time. The players know it's an important game for each team. And I think they just block out all the noise. All that talk is for other people. It's not for the coaches and players to concern themselves with.
Coach, have you talked to your friend John Madden recently? I know how much you care about him. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, John, so I'm just challenging him to a bocce ball game every now and then, you know?
That's a great relationship with you and Coach Flores, who I think you agree should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Coach Madden's in there. Can you just wrap this up by talking about your connection with Al Davis when he was alive, Mark Davis now, and especially the former coaches of the Silver and Black, Tom Flores, and especially John Madden?
Oh, yeah, all of them. I never worked with any of them, but I certainly got to know all of them with Al Davis and his career. We've had many conversations about their organization, my future, all of that kind of stuff. Occasionally, I've really enjoyed to get to know Mark. I knew Mark when he was just a youngster, just growing up in the business. And then, of course, heck, when I was a young coach, 20-some years old, I came up to the Raiders to visit. Tom Flory spent half a day with us, and he was the head coach of the pro team, and he's spending time with me and Richard Smith, who's the defensive coordinator at Atlanta right now, about technique and about philosophy. And about, like, I couldn't believe he spent that kind of time with me. There's another guy that belongs in the Hall of Fame with two Super Bowl rings, right?
Absolutely.
Tom Flores. And so, and then, of course, Coach Madden, got to know him very well when he was doing the broadcast stuff. But even better than that, afterward, it's 19 years now with our bocce event together. We've raised a lot of money, but we're on the player safety advisory panel together. So we have quite a lot of communication. In fact, I just talked to him last night. He always check in to see how he's feeling. And, boy, he's so sharp. You know, he watches everything.
Awesome.
He's very involved.
Coach, what's the best part of your life right now? I always hear about coaching rumors and your name comes up and everything. What's going on in your career as we wrap this up? What's the best part about being Steve Mariucci today?
Because I have a job. I have a job right now with the NFL Network, and I get to talk about a sport that I love. I get to talk about pro football and about the ins and outs and analyze it and give my opinion and go into the stadiums and hear the crowd and all of that kind of thing with a bunch of guys that I really enjoy working with, whether it's Dion or Michael Irvin or Marshall or Kurt Warner or Rich Eisen. We're kind of a good team right now, and we enjoy each other's company. And, you know, I have no complaints. I just love what I do. I'm passionate about this sport. There's so much good to football. Whether it's pro, college, high school, youth football, I love it. And so I'm happy. I thank God every day I'm able to do this.
Coach, thanks so much for doing this. It means a lot to us. I'll see you at a stadium soon, or I'll catch you up in Napa again.
Thank you so much. Okay, JT the Brick, thanks for having me on.
Great catching up with Coach Mariucci. Remember, you can see Coach Mariucci every Sunday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day morning at 9 a.m. Eastern and NFL Game Day highlights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Mooch. And finally, we wrap up this official Raiders podcast with the voice of the San Diego Chargers. We welcome Josh Lewin. And Josh, let's begin. First off, what an opportunity here for the Raiders as they're trying to clinch a playoff spot. But what's going on with the Chargers? I'm reading about 17 players on injured reserve. Is it that bad?
Yeah, actually, it's worse. I'll give you an update. Brandon Flowers is on now, so you can grow it to 18. And, and actually, if you include the guys that they, you know, injury settled with way back in preseason and whatnot, it's in the low 20s. So, you know, it's just silly how many injuries there have been. And I know that everybody's going to say, well, it's just making excuses, but it's legit. You know, I mean, they're without pretty much all of their weapons except for Phillip Rivers. And, even Phillip would be the first to admit he's tried to be the hero, you know, too many times and it just hasn't worked out. He's throwing to people who aren't open. And, 5-8 is not where they want him to be, but hopefully they still got enough danger in him to give the Raiders a run for their money.
You know, Josh, through about 9 or 10 games, the backstory on this team was the best team in football with a sub-500 record, because there were several games, I think you'd admit at least two or three, that the Chargers were in and actually should have won comfortably and found a way to lose, but we're not hearing that story anymore. Is it because of all the injuries and the backups and the struggles in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, you've got, and actually, you know, I mean, those first, really, I mean, not to be an apologist, but of those first seven losses, literally all seven of them, you know, they had a chance to win, and six of them they really should have won. I mean, the only one that was reasonably legit is an actual loss with 8 points down at Denver, and in that one, you know, shoot, they dropped three pick sixes in that game. So even that one, you can say they should have had. So, yeah, you know, that narrative seems a little old now just because they went to Carolina and laid an egg. I mean, they just, you know, they were not in that game, and that's not a good Carolina team right now. So they're fading. They're just kind of, you know, flickering right now, trying to stay reasonably relevant, and, you know, they're going to have all they can handle against the Raiders for sure.
Josh Lewin's our guest, the voice of the Chargers. Now, I look at the stats heading into this game. You got to be looking at it. The Raiders still have the 30th total defense. They're 26th in rush defense and 27th in pass defense. And the Chargers and Phillip Rivers got to believe, if they have a chance in this game, that they're going to throw it all over the place, just try to attack the Raiders downfield, because that's what the opponents have been trying to do, find the weakness in the Raiders secondary and attack it.
Yeah, and Rivers has had a lot of success against the Raiders before. I mean, he always seems to have a 300 or even 400 game against them. And, you know, this is one of those games that just cries out for, you know, give me either Keenan Allen or Danny Woodhead. You know, I mean, give me either the scat back or the guy that runs the crossing route. And I think that they would put up a lot of points. But, you know, Melvin Gordon's unlikely to play. I mean, you've really got no running back that you trust right now. The offensive line is actually the healthiest unit, but they've been terrible. So, you know, I'd say puncher's chance, probably the cliche that you go with, because if they can hit a couple of big plays deep, you know, Tyrell Williams and the spirit of what Malcolm Floyd used to do to the Raiders, he's got kind of that same build and same ability. You know, that's certainly a portal to hang in there and get things done. But they just turned the ball over too many times, JT. I mean, it's 30 times. It's 18 in the fourth quarter alone. The Raiders have 9 turnovers all year. You know, the Chargers have twice that many in the fourth quarter.
How concerned should the Raiders be with Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates with their inability to cover the tight end? I mean, they're getting better, and the Raiders are making plays in the fourth quarter on defense to close some of these teams out there, but they still struggle matching up and covering athletic tight ends. Talk about the tight ends for the Chargers.
Well, they'd love to feed Antonio Gates. So he's 2 touchdowns away from tying Tony Gonzalez for the all-time record for tight ends. And you're right. I mean, if there's you know, a way to fatten him up and get closer to that record, or even grab the record, you know, the Raiders, the way they have struggled against tight ends, you think that's something they could do, not only to win a game, but to try to give the fans a little goose, you know, and see if Antonio can actually get in the end zone a couple times in that one afternoon. But Hunter Henry's a guy I think has been underutilized, quite honestly. And I mean, when they really wound him up and let him go earlier in the season, he looked like Tyler Eifert. And, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know if he's completely healthy and they're just not talking about it, but, you know, for whatever reason, he just doesn't have a lot of looks in the last 7 or 8 games. And I think he's a real talent.
Josh, what's your assessment of the Raiders to see the turnaround for them and the play of Carr for most of the year until that struggle with the game against Kansas City on Thursday night? They've been running it well. They have Crabtree and Cooper. Khalil Mack, one of the best defenders in all of football. Assess the Raiders from your point of view.
Well, they're super impressive. And as much as Charger fans love to hate on Raider fans and vice versa, you know, to me, when the Raiders are good, it's good for the league. It really is, you know, I mean, because people either love them or they hate them. And when they're an afterthought, you know, when they're irrelevant, it's no good. You know, I mean, the Charger fans, when the Chargers were good, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and the Raiders were winning 4 games every year, it kind of lost its luster. It's like, you know, so it's the Raiders, who cares? Well, everybody cares about the Raiders now. You know, they put together a hell of a team, and they're finding ways to win the close games. That's exactly the opposite of what the Chargers have been all about. They find a way to lose them. And, you know, if you took the logo off the helmets and just said, okay, this is a random team, what do you think of them? You'd say, I love this team. But, you know, because of the logo, San Diego fans are not exactly going to be like that.
We're wrapping it up with Josh Lewin. Finally, how is Philip Rivers handling this? Because that's a guy I know. Sunday, when I'm there, when I see you, he will storm out of that tunnel ready to play because he loves this rivalry. He wants to beat the Raiders as much as anybody. Mentally, how has Rivers been handling this season, especially all the talk off the football field?
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, he's just got no supporting cast. And, you know, I think you'll see it on his face and with his body language how frustrated he gets during the games. I mean, he'll never say anything about how, you know, how bare the cupboard is right now. It's just not his way. But it's got to eat at him, you know. I mean, and he is kind of trying to be the hero lately, trying to make plays he's just not able to make. And, you know, that's because the cupboard is pretty bare right now. All those guys on IR, and they just don't have the weaponry to compete. So, you know, Philip will compete. There's no question. And if anybody can figure out a way to MacGyver a win out of the whole thing, it's Philip Rivers.
Finally, you on a personal note, how many jobs do you have now? It's tough to keep up with you. Tell me specifically what you are doing today and how many other gigs you have in other sports.
Well, I'm looking into selling Amway. If that comes open, I'd love to jump in and do that too. No, I got it's the UCLA football and basketball, and basketball has just been amazing. I mean, they're so much fun. The Chargers and the Mets. So it's three gigs, and I love them all. You know, at some point, one ball might have to drop if I just get completely exhausted. But right now, everything's fine. I got three good bosses, and when there are conflicts, we work them out. And you know, I got no plans to slow down because I love what I do.
Congratulations for your success. I'll see you on Sunday.
Oh, you're the best, buddy. See you soon.
Thanks again to all of our guests, Marcellus Wiley, Steve Mariucci, and the voice of the Chargers, Josh Lewin. I'm going. I'll be in San Diego. I'll be back for the Indianapolis game the following week. Raider Nation, thanks for joining us. Again, everyone at Silver and Black Productions, we wish you a happy holidays. We're fired up for what's about to happen. Hopefully the Raiders come out of this with a win, and they're a playoff team when I talk to you next on the official Raiders podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.